Captain Radio. Gap year for younger people, but how about going around the world for a year with a senior gap year? Well, my next guest did exactly that, and it's a great story. Chris Herman is author of his book called My Senior Gap Year, and he joins us now. Good afternoon to you, Chris.
Yeah, good afternoon, Jenny. Yeah, great to be with you.
Yeah, very nice to speak to you as well. Now, at the age of 62, you made a big decision, but prior to that, just to take 12 months off, we mentioned, but also you had a very busy career, didn't you?
Well, that's right. Yeah, I had a professional career and ran my own business, but had a little bit of a life change, which I guess was a catalyst to taking off on a gap year, in my case, my senior gap year.
Yeah, I think you're setting a trend here. People are going to take inspiration from you. Now, it was a very sad situation, of course, that got you thinking about doing this, wasn't it?
That's right, yeah. It was just on 3 years ago when my wife of been together for 40 years suddenly passed away. And
awful.
I suddenly found myself, apart from dealing with the loss, and
yeah,
suddenly found myself single, because the children and their families, they were moving up northwest to where the work was, and I found myself,
yep,
where I was 40 years ago, single and
yep,
no dependents. And I thought, well, maybe this gap year is not such a bad idea after all.
Well, it's a bit of a change for you, because I guess before I get on to where you went and everything like that, did you get any resistance from your family? Did you have the negative sort of answer saying, listen, Dad, for goodness sake, you're getting a bit adventurous here? It wasn't a cruise ship you were looking at to sit on. It was something a little bit more adventurous than that.
Well, it was interesting. In fact, they were actually quite supportive and probably just quietly envious in some case. I mean, there were other people sort of my age group were perhaps questioning it. They thought, oh, yeah, 3 months and you'll be back type of thing. But no, generally they were very supportive.
So you did the full 12 months, did you?
That's right, yes. Yeah. So I just booked a round-the-world ticket just with three stop-offs, one in Spain, one in Central America, one in Southeast Asia, nothing else booked, just and took each day as it came.
So why did you choose to go to countries that perhaps aren't the mainstream for tourists? Any particular reason?
Well, I guess a couple of reasons. I wanted to do something different, just away from the mainstream, because I wanted to be a little bit, I wanted to sort of challenge myself. And in fact, if it felt uncomfortable, then I wanted to do it, not purely from a risk point of view, but just stepping outside the square a bit. And the other reason, it's the countries I went to were more economic in terms, because I was going away for 12 months.
Yeah, good point.
I wasn't looking at this trip being a once-a-lifetime trip. It was just, to me, it was a journey as part of the overall life journey.
So you were backpacking pretty much, were you?
That's right. Well, the first 3 months I went to Spain. And I rent an apartment for the 3 months I was there in the middle of this 2,000-year-old city. And then that was just such a great
gorgeous buzz,
sort of experiencing that, the whole culture and lifestyle there. But after that, from Central America through countries of Central America and top part of South America and Southeast Asia, just went backpacking for that whole 9 months. And that was just such a great liberating feeling. Backpack no bigger than carry-on luggage, and if I liked the place I stayed, if I didn't, I moved on.
That is amazing. It takes a lot of gumption to do that, I think. Really, it does. Was there at any time that you felt, oh, what am I doing here? Did you feel a little bit as though you were in a bit of danger? Were people friendly to you? Did you have any doubts and you felt you should go home?
Well, it's sort of interesting you mentioned about the doubts, and it was just after I arrived in Spain. In fact, that was the start of the trip. I was travelling solo and sort of where the rubber hit the road, if you like. And after a few days, I must admit, I had one of those moments and thinking, like, what have I done? But I'd experienced those things before in life, and knew if I stuck with it, it would move on, and it did. And it was just turned out to be a fantastic experience. And
well, what about the language barrier? What about people that sort of questioned who you were and what you were doing? I mean, did you feel comfort in the with the locals?
Well, certainly with the language. I mean, I was in the majority of my time in Spanish-speaking countries, and I went there with my Spanish vocabulary was much more than see and care, which thankfully I learnt from Fawlty Towers.
We learned a lot from Fawlty Towers.
That's right. But I did do some Spanish class. In fact, the first when I went is in Spain, I thought, well, I'll improve my vocabulary, and so I booked myself into a Spanish class. But the first week didn't go well because everything's in Spanish. I couldn't even understand the questions. So, but they said stick with it, it'll get better. But by the end of the week, they gave me my money back. I ended up enrolling about 8 weeks of Spanish class all up over five different countries, and became a bit more, I was actually, in the end, I was putting two word sentences together, so I was pretty proud of
you. You were doing very well. You know, you mentioned 2,000-year-old city. I can't even imagine anything being so fantastic as that. But what about other memorable experiences that you're going to keep in your mind forever?
Well, a lot of it's to do with people. I mean, there's cruising down the Amazon, you know, that was
my gosh,
a great experience. And, riding on the back of a pickup truck or a ute, down the side of the mountain, there's like a taxi type truck full of kids in there that have been to an English school that I had a little part in teaching English. But one of the things is before I left, I felt as I needed a purpose just to be going away for 12 months and, wandering around aimlessly, there must be some purpose. I didn't come up with them, but I went anyway. But it was actually when I was, even before I left, what I called the pre-gap year, when I was in the Pilbara, and there was a rumour about good quality bedlam being dumped by mining companies because of the downturn. And I followed that rumour through, and while there was truckloads, literally, stuff being dumped, the end result of it, we, through the Rotary Club in Mill Point in South Perth, were, to this day, with a recent batch, we've diverted something like 50,000 items of bed linen, worth something probably $500,000 to charities all around Western Australia, around the world. And one of those was actually in northern Thailand, where around that same area where those kids, that cave rescue was. And,
oh, my gosh.
And to actually sit with the children on the mattresses, on sheets that were otherwise being dumped. And just to go from hospital to hospital where these children were housed was just...
that's great.
It was such a gratifying experience. So,
you see, you can see why so many people go to countries like that and help out, don't you, from, their comfort of their own home sort of thing. They get caught up in with the locals and what they need. They need simple things, and if you can provide it, it's a wonderful, wonderful feeling. When you were away, what was it that you missed most?
Well, there's probably a few little things that, generally the little eats, the cherry ripes and all those type of things. But I mean, the big thing was, certainly family and friends, but what made a big difference there was because I was always in constant contact, through social media.
That's good though, isn't it?
One instance, I was riding the back of an elephant, and my grandkids saying, oh, look, there's Pop in the back of an elephant.
Isn't that wonderful to be able to do that?
So it was, while I met lots of great people along the way and some great experience with those people, it was having that underlying social contact with close family and friends, which, almost sometimes on a daily basis, a quick chat, someone might send a message, how are you going, Dad, where are you? And that provided that sort of really, I think, a significant...
difference today, there. It's fantastic. Yeah. You know, it's all too easy, is it not, for most of us to say, going through what you went through with the loss of your lovely wife, to say, oh, it's all too hard, I think I'll just take time off and stay home and that sort of thing. So with you go around giving quite a few talks, I do believe, and have you had people that you've been speaking to get inspired by what you've done?
Well, that was one of the interesting things. I mean, I never planned to take a gap year, and I never planned to do a blog, which I did a weekly blog, and people were, found the sort of, the stories and the different things that I related to inspiring, and they said we should write a book. Well, I never intended to write a book, and that, and part of that was that key message, was that, one of the things I came away with was that out there's thousands of young people, young generation, really experiencing, cultures at a grassroots level. And I came away with the fact that as a generation, we're seriously missing out. And it's because, why is it when we grow up top, we become, more fearful? And And I experienced the same thing before I went away. I was thinking, you know, those all those Mr. Logic fears that want to keep you in the comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, you're, what, for 12 months, no, you're too old, you're traveling on your own and all this type of thing. And had I listened to that Mr. Logic and not listened to my gut feeling, it would have been just such a fantastic experience I would have missed out on. So to me, that was,
You got through that.
Yeah, that's right. And to me, as an inspiration to others, it's just do it.
It's fabulous that you've been able to do this and share it. Now, what about, it obviously didn't cost you as much as somebody if it chose to do it in a very glamorous way. So the cost of the trip away for 12 months, plus did you ever get unwell from these countries?
Well, that was another curious thing. I was really fortunate. I mean, you know, there's some of the stuff that you sit in front of you, you think, well, gee, I wonder what's crawling in there. But I never got ill, physically. So that was, called amazing, whatever, but that...
I think it is.
Not to experience that.
And you managed to budget and everything per day?
Yeah, obviously it was at the budget level, and the accommodation I would choose was generally hostels, and the reason I did that, I mean, hostels are far different to the perception that most of us have. A lot of them are really slick, slick accommodation venues, and they're really and the attractive thing about it, they're a social hub. I mean, I generally chose private rooms, but sometimes I'd sort of stretch my comfort zone and go into a dorm and sort of walk in the door, and there'd be all these kids, and they're younger than my own children, take a bit of a gulp and and sort of, you know, but then climb up the top bunk and then wake up in the morning and think, oh, this is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But really, I never felt as though I'd ever missed out in terms of where I stayed. It was all, I mean, I wouldn't know what a bed bug is in terms of the accommodation I stayed
That's
in.
That's excellent.
And the things I saw and experienced, and really at the end of the day, I mean, people say, well, that must have cost you a fortune, but at the end of the day, it didn't really cost me any more than if I was living
back home,
living here in WA in Perth.
Yeah, no, it's fabulous. With your experiences meeting up with so many different people, different cultures, different language, did you come away with a different perspective of about what people are about? Do you think we're all fairly much the same? We all have the same needs?
Well, that's the fascinating thing, and that's one of the great things about getting out at the grassroots level. Like, we can take a holiday, we can go on a cruise, we can go and stay in some exotic place and resort, but we're really insulated, you know, from, and we can take a sort of, follow some of the flag, taken on the tour around the city, whatever, but it's actually when you really live amongst the people, do you really get to, you know, appreciate it. Mm. And you're right, like, people are no different to you and I. We all have the same needs, and even a place like Guatemala, you know, like, it's a relatively poor country, but you can sort of feel the happiness, amongst those people. In Myanmar, you know, it's there's a sense of, you know, happiness about life. They have nowhere near as much as we do, and you're, but that's really what the bottom line is all about, just how happy you are.
Did you come back a different person, do you think, Chris?
You can't help but, I think, change the person you are. And I think whenever you have the experience to sort of mix with other cultures, it just sort of broadens that that appreciation of the broader world, the beauty, the fantastic world that we live in terms of, you know, its features, but also just the people. It's really the people that make any sort of travel adventure and just so many of those wonderful experiences.
With the experience you've had as a single person travelling, I imagine you're not obviously responsible for someone else with you. Could you imagine a husband and wife doing this sort of trip?
Well, see, that's the thing. As I explained, the catalyst was where I found my situation in. But should be absolutely no reason. In fact, there should be more of a reason for a couple to do it. And I think just for the fact that it sort of creates that sense of adventure as a couple. I mean, we all get sort of stuck in life sort of ruts and routines, but to take on adventure as a couple, to me, that is, it's a relationship revitalised. I mean, of course, it's got lots of challenges, but I think it's just as a magnificent opportunity, revitaliser for a couple as it is for a person single.
Well, you're a great inspiration, like I said earlier, Chris. I think it's fabulous. And you're back in the workforce again, are you, or not?
Well, I'm sort of working towards. In fact, what I'm doing is working on a package to encourage or encourage and facilitate people just step outside the comfort zone and experience firsthand.
What, take trips away with you?
Yeah, well, at least not as a tour guide, but just to help people overcome those fears and concerns, and just to make it easy for people, just even to replicate an experience in Spain. That was sort of certainly one of the highlights, and so that's what I'm working on at the moment.
That sounds absolutely wonderful for so many people that, like I say, just sit in the lounge chair and just wait to the end of their lives, which is that's a sad demise, isn't it? Thank you so much, Chris. Now, the book is called My Senior Gap Year. Your website is myseniorgapyear.com, as simple as that. And we thank you very much, and if you have another adventure, please let us know.
Well, thank you. Look, it's been great talking with you and sharing the story.
You too. Thank you to Kim very much.
And if anyone's interested in that travel adventure, there's a link up at the top of the website too, just to register interest in that.
Easy as that.
The book. Yeah.
Good on you. Thank you, Chris.
All right. Thanks, Jenny.
Bye for now. Chris Herman.